topic now, continuing of Yisurin. So now we're essentially halfway down the huge lines of Daf Hei Amud Aleph. The last one line is Amar. We have the period there. So it says, Amar Rava, V'teimur of Chista. He said like this, Imro Adam, if you see a person, she has certain bond a lot. He's got problems, right? Whatever bad thing. If a person sees that he's got problems himself, so what should he do? He said, Yifash Pesh Masav. He should, you know, look at his, examine his ways. Pishpush means examine, but like hands off, get your hands dirty. That kind of implication, obviously. I don't necessarily know why it's using that word, necessarily, other than perhaps to the drush in the next words. I mean, if we'll see. But you see, it's committed to this word pishpesh. I'm just emphasizing to you it means feeling like examining hands on with your hands. In any case, so a person should examine his ways. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Nachvasa darkeinu, let us examine our ways. Like, oh, search out our ways, something like that. V'nach kora, and like examine them, analyze them. V'nashuva, and then we will return ad Hashem to Hashem. So you see that the pasuk tells you a person should examine his ways. Now, what happens if pishpesh, you did examine your ways, v'lo matzah, you didn't find anything. So Rashi says here that what you're looking for is something that's like a mita keneged mita, you know, poetic justice. You know, you made someone lose their job, so now you lost your job, or something like that. In other words, an obvious connection, not like, you know, not like I said Lashon Hara yesterday, so today, you know, I lost my wallet. That's not the point. The point is he's trying to figure out a connection. Rashi's Lashon, just look at it, because Rashi is on the top left here, not where Rashi usually is, right? But he says, the last of the big lines in Rashi, it says, Pishpesh lo matzah, he searched but didn't find. Lo matzah veira biyado, he didn't find something he'd done wrong. Shebishvila, that because of that particular veira, ru'uyin, it would be appropriate, yisurin halalo, that those particular yisurin, lavo, should come upon him. So he wants some kind of obvious connection. The reason I pointed Rashi out is because I put in a lot of words. I said more than Rashi said. I'm making it like a clear, obvious mita keneged mita, tit for tat. Rashi's not quite that explicit, but he's still, I think that's what he's saying. It has to be ru'uy. A person could learn a more minimalist way that ru'uy means, I guess, like quantity. It's supposed to, you know, like, is this bad enough to deserve this, or something like that. But anyways, I think Rashi learns, like, the pshat Rashi, like I said. The point is, what happens if you search but you didn't find? You didn't figure out what the crime was that, you know, so to speak, that fits the punishment? You know, like playing Jeopardy, so to speak. You know the punishment, but you're trying to figure out what the crime was, so you can't figure that out. So what do you do? So then you're going to assume that it's Yitla, Taliyah is like, it's a halakha concept. You know, it means like to, like, assign out of doubt. You assume it, you know, hang it on, from Tolet to hang it on. Like, assume it's hanging on the assumption that it's Bittul Torah, that it must have been Bittul Torah that got you into this mess. Right? So, but the assumption is if you examine your ways, there's nothing obvious that you did wrong. So, the correct assumption to make is that it must be that you had Bittul Torah that brought this suffering to you. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ashrei Agever Asher Tiyas Renaka. Fortunate is the man who Hashem sends affliction. Muturaz Chatalam Denu. And from his Torah, he teaches him. So, Hashem is maser you, he teaches you Torah and is afflicts you. So if you lack in Torah, the affliction is going to come that way. So if that's the case, they all ask a funny question. I think it's a funny question, which is, one second, if you just examined your ways and you didn't find Bittul Torah as the problem, so then why should you assume it's Bittul Torah? You just made an investigation. So like, you just, obviously Bittul Torah was on your list and you didn't see it there, so now why should you subscribe it to Bittul Torah? Just look, and it wasn't that. So, okay, so by me, I don't hear the question. Because by me, it sounds like a joke question. To me, it just sounds like, what do you mean? Like, you don't know. So obviously, the point is, that's like the default position. Like, what do you expect? Bittul Torah is obviously an impossibly difficult thing to overcome, because a person's chayav to put all his free time, all the time that he has extra, to Talmud Torah. And that's obviously like a very subjective thing. How much time can you possibly put into it? So therefore, I don't hear the question. But anyways, they all seem to take the question seriously. And so they answer. So the Gra says something quite, like, sharp. He says, you want to know why you it's Bittul Torah? Because if you haven't learned enough to know what you did wrong, if you learn enough, you know what you did wrong, and then you'll be able to figure out what you did wrong to know why you got to say Surah. So what do you expect? And he, like Shigas Talmud Olazadim, you know, it's your fault. By not learning properly, it's like your own fault that you did wrong things. That's quite a sharp answer. That's a different answer. The Gevor in Sota Chavbeis says that Talmud Torah protects you from getting punished from your past crimes. So a second parrot, which is interesting, because you looked and didn't find Hashem. The assumption, I guess, here is that Hashem always punishes Mita Kenegan Mita. So what you're suffering, and there's nothing there that's Mita Kenegan Mita that you can look in the, I guess that's called the recent past. So Psham must be, it's some crime you did in the far distant past you've long forgotten about, which if you wouldn't have been Mevat the Torah, your Torah would have protected you, but now you've like let down your guard and you lost the protection of Torah, and then this thing came back to haunt you. That's the second shot. And a third approach is a Gemara in Erevin, in Daf Nandalit, it says that Talmud Torah like sort of like vitalizes your whole body. So if you are chaser in Talmud Torah, so you guess you lose some vitality, so then that's your sickness. So you assume you're lacking some Torah learning to keep you healthy. Those are, I guess, our answers to the question, which I guess I take seriously. So now, what happens if below matzah? What if we say v'imtala below matzah? If you say, okay, I'm prepared to entertain the thought that it's bits of Torah, but you know what? No way. No way, that's not it. In other words, a person knows that like, he wasn't the Mevat Torah. He's certain that he put in all his efforts. So if that's unacceptable, the Yadua, then he can know for certain that it's something totally different. It's Yisurin Shel Avahim, that they're Yisurin Shel Ava. They're suffering out of love. It's a very difficult concept. Okay? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ki es asher yehav Hashem yochiach. Hashem is mochiach, gives tochachos, and he reproves. That's the Yisurin. Those people who he loves. So that's the concept, a new concept, a difficult concept called Yisurin Shel Ahava. So there are a few approaches to what Yisurin Shel Ahava is. By me, the most pashut way of understanding it, but it's probably not the majority of... The majority of people learn like this. The majority of Rishonim essentially learn that there's something wrong with you that the Yisurin are coming to address anyway. So like the Ramban learns that they're shkagos. Like you don't know what you did wrong, and it's a shkaga, or it's an accident, or whatever, but the point is, it cleanses you anyways. And the Ramchal learns it's cleansing you of like, you're doing some cleansing for other people, like as a tzaddik atones for others, so like that's your schar. That's like one approach. The second approach is that it's more like the Ran and the Maral learn, it's like there's something that's not technically wrong with you. Like you didn't do a particular avera, but like you're not, maybe your attitudes are wrong, your midos are not perfect. So you didn't do anything wrong, but like Yisurim they elevate a person. It's not sort of like, I don't think it's some sort of like, the first is sort of like magic. You know, it's like a kapar. Like you get affliction, like the Yisurim magically atone, however that works. But it's not like through psychology necessarily, it's through like some sort of metaphysics. The second approach, I think, is more like psychological. It's like, if you haven't noticed, people who have had hard lives generally have like more integrity and like are like more, they're like better people because like they were forged to take life more seriously and appreciate things more, etc., etc. So that's like a second approach. My heart is in that direction. I think it's more like a kick in the pants. Like a person naturally is gonna, he's doing everything right. He's like exotic, but obviously he's like, wherever he is, wherever he goes, there's more to go. So he hit some level of complacency. So Hashem gives him a kick in the pants to like, you know, push, try harder. Which I think is more in line with those kind of approaches, consistent with those. A third approach is like interesting, more like different. The sloth learns a whole different like approach to things, which is like basically the funtzara agra, which means like, you know, according to the suffering is a reward. So if you know, we're talking about schar here. So if Hashem makes it harder for you to learn Torah, let's say, so then and you learn Torah anyway, so there's more reward in it. Okay, so those are different approaches in Yisurim Shel Ahava, but it is, like I told you, my heart's in the second, that it's Hashem's pushing you to succeed and do more. So that's it. Whatever the pshat is, we'll see throughout the rest of the Amud here, the theme comes up again and again. Maybe it's to and I think primarily in this Amud you'll see primarily like a cleansing issue. It seems like it's cleansing of sin, that angle, like the Ramban and so. Either it's a real sin, like a sort of a soft sin, like a shortcoming that's not so technical. Either way, now we've got Yisurin Shel Ahava. Now, that becomes now our topic essentially for quite a while. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna, Kol Shekhodesh Baruch Hu Chafetz Bo, anyone who Hashem really likes, so Mada'ako B'Yisur, and he crushes him with suffering. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ba'Hashem Chafetz Dako, and the one like Hashem chooses, he crushes, Hecheli, with like illness. I like that. So, Yachol Afilu Lo Kibla Ma'ava, now you might think that it's effective in giving you this extra, I don't know, bonus points in the scar, let's call it, even if you don't accept them out of love. So I'm a Lomar, the Pasuk continues on, Imtasim Asham Nafsho, which literally means if he like accepts guilt on his person, like he relates, he acknowledges that he's, you know, guilty. But they darshan out here, Ma Asham, just like a Korban Asham, like a guilt offering, the Das. It's only effective if it's like you accept it. You know, you can't, if someone brings an animal on your behalf and you're not conceding to bring an animal, it doesn't affect the kapar that an usher will bring, or a chafetz for that matter. So, if yisurin ledas, for yisurin to be effective, you have to accept them, you have to be wanting them to happen. So, the yisurin shel ava only give this extra bonus. If you recover them ma'ava, you have to respond to them with love. That's not, they're ineffective. Mekiblam, and if you do accept them with love, so maskara, what's the benefit? So it says, Yira Zera, the Pasuk continued over there, Yira Zera, he will see, you know, offspring, Yarech Yamim, and he'll have a lengthening of days. Below, oh, not only that, Ela Shetalmudo Miskayim B'yad, not only that, but he'll also remember his learning. Shneimar, as the Pasuk says, V'chafetz Hashem B'yado, Yatliach, sorry, Yitzlach, excuse me. And the Chafetz Hashem, this now we're learning that Chafetz Hashem means referring to the Torah, that which Hashem desires. B'yado Yitzlach, in his hand it will be, you know, successful, it'll be saved there in his hand, so he'll keep the Torah. Fine. Now, we're going to discuss now what is the range of possible times of suffering that could be considered Yisurin Ava. Are there any limits to it? So we have a three of machlokas. First of all, we have two people, Plikiba, Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. These two have machlokas over what could and couldn't be Yisurin Shel Ava. Chad Amar, one of them says, Elen Yisurin Shel Ava, these are Yisurin Shel Ava, Kol She'en Behen Bitl Torah. As long as they don't make you learn Mavatal Torah learning. In other words, if you're sick or afflicted in such a way that prevents you from learning, it takes away from your learning, that could not conceivably be, you know, Yisurin Shel Ava, because it's holding you back. The pasuk to prove it, Shneamar, Ashrei Gever, fortunate is the man, Asher Tiyasrenu Ka, that Hashem afflicts, Umutoraz Chatzlamdenu, and who teaches him Torah. So you see, no Torah couldn't be Ashrei Gever, that Hashem's fortunate in his afflicting you. Something else. That's one approach. The Chadamar, the other one says, Elohem Yisurin Shel Ava, you know what they are? Kol She'ein Behen Bitzel Tefillah, if you can't daven. So the first one, you can't learn this, you can't daven. Shneimar, the pasuk says, Baruch Elohim, Asher lo heisir tefilasi, blessed is Hashem who didn't, like, you know, turn away my prayers, b'chasto me'iti, and it's like, I don't know, it's kindness for me. I wanted to see that Hashem can't be showing kindness to you if he's turning away your prayers, so that can't be ma'ama. So that's machlokas there. Now, there's a third approach here. Amar lahu, Rabbi Ava, b'rei d'Rav Chia, bar Ava. He says, Hachi amar Rav Chia bar Ava. Amar Rav Yochanan, the name of Yochanan. Remember, Rav Yochanan, he comes up in relevant later on. Elu v'elu Yisurin Shel Ava. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, Yisurin Shel Ava can come in all shapes and sizes, even if it means less Torah learning or less tefillah. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, Ki es asher yehev Hashem yochiyach. Right? Whoever Hashem loves, he indeed chastises. Elamatam Lomar. So what the pasuk means, the pasuk says, Muturas Chatzlam Denu, when the pasuk says, and he teaches them the Torah. So Al Tikri Telam Denu, like you teach him, Ela Telam Denu, you teach us. What do you teach us? Davar Zev Mitorah Secha Telam Denu, you teach us this matter from your Torah. This is what you're learning. A colon. What the limit from the Torah to teach you that Yisurin Shel Ava can roll shapes and sizes? Kol v'chomer m'shein v'ayin. They make a kol v'chomer from shein v'ayin. But their shein means tooth, ayin means eyeball. The halacha is that if it's sugya in kedushin, if a master of owning an eved kanani injures him and makes the pasuk in the Torah refers to losing an eye or a tooth, but actually the halacha is if he loses any like even rosh eber, like a finger or a nose or a toe, whatever different parts of the body, if he loses those, then the slave goes free. So the kol v'chomer is going to be that if, when it comes to a regular slave, even losing a little bit of his body, like a little bit, sets him free. So for sure, your servant inflicts your whole body will set you free. Okay? So that inside it says, Kol v'chomer m'shein v'ayin, here's the Kol v'chomer, ma'shein v'ayin, when it comes to shein, a tooth or an ayin, an eye, shehen echad me'ivara, which is one little limb, shel adam, of a person, nevertheless, eben yotze behen, l'cherus, a slave lose one little affliction, he sets him free forever. So yisurin, when it comes to yisurin, we're talking about this like full body, horrible yisurin, shemim markin kol gufo, like your whole body suffers because of it, shall adam of a person, alachas kam v'kama, all the more so he will be liberated. So there's two approaches. The approach that I like, and I sent out the email to you guys, is this liberated. It's consistent with my understanding before Yisrael Shal Ava, and how I described it before, which is like a kick in the pants. In other words, like just like the Eved is free, you know, economically and literally emancipated, free, the person's liberated, you know, psychologically and emotionally through Yisurim. And I sent you that link in the email, that interview with that woman, that, you know, that, you see, like, that's what it does. It liberates you, makes you a bigger person. But that's probably the minority. The majority approach here is that it purges you of sin. Like, the back to consistent for it. Yisurim Shal Ava purge you of sin. And the point is here, too, that it sets you free of your sins. Like, the Yisurim Shal Ava get the sin out of you. Not that you're liberated and a free man. The pshat is like you're free from the sins that hold you back. Okay, I think that's a bit of fun. V'ayin Rav Shimon ben Lakish, this is like Rav Shimon, but Rav Shimon ben Lakish dead. Dam Rav Shimon Lakish. Ne'emar bris v'melach. It says by, we're talking about the mitzvah to salt the meat of the korban before it goes on the mizbeach. So the word there, it says bris. And it also says the word bris when it comes to Yisurin. The bris, there's a reference to bris. It talks about the end of the tofachos in Devarim. So it's making Gezerah Shavah to bris. So it says here, Nemar bris v'melach. It says by the salting of the meat that you bring on the altar, the chsiv, lo sashbis melach bris. You shouldn't, like, you know, withhold, you know, discontinue the covenant of salt by the korbanos. The Nemar bris by Yisurin. It also says bris by Yisurin. The chsiv, ela divrei habris. These are the words of the covenant. That's summing up the tochos, that if you don't listen, bad things will happen to you. Ma bris ha'amur b'melach, just like the covenant by the salt, the melach is mamtekes es habasar, it sweetens or readies the meat to be offered. Ach bris, just same thing, the covenant ha'amur b'yisurin, when it talks about suffering, yisurin memarkin kol avonosav shel adam. The bris, like, purges the person of his sins. So either the pshat is like somewhere, like literally, like the salt draws out the blood, and like of its impurities, and therefore you sort of draw out, like, the impurities out of you, like direct purging of sin. Others learn that it's more like, I guess, like another approach is more like abstract, like you're boiling blood, so to speak, is like a bad midos, and the just thing with the salt pull, like, you know, pull the an ego and all that kind of stuff. Just like the salt pulls the blood out of the vasar, the salt's gonna pull the you're sort of gonna pull that, like, that boiling blood, bad midos, out of you. Fun. Okay, now